area of the book of Ruth is a question, and there are many questions here, but we can ask ourselves, how do you prepare yourself to meet your Redeemer? We come here every Sunday morning, not just to get out of the house, not just to put on a show. We come here to meet our Redeemer, don't we? Yeah. How do you present yourself to your Redeemer? When you are getting dressed, does your Redeemer even come to your mind? Do you think about your Redeemer when you're getting ready to come to church? If it is indeed your Redeemer you're planning to meet, what is on your mind as you prepare to come to church? Here is Ruth getting advice from Naomi, her mother-in-law. Prepare yourself well. Don't go any old how. Be in the right frame of mind, and the way you dress, I must say this, the way you dress, don't only say something about you. It says something about what you think of your Redeemer. You send a message to your Redeemer, not only about yourself, but what you think about him. When you're invited to the mayor's office, you don't go any old how. The president invites you, or you go to a ball, you go to a wedding. How do you present yourself? Well, if you're coming to your Redeemer, how do you assess him? Do you still have a sparkle for your Redeemer? Or you take him for granted? I hear people say that, you know, well, over there, over here, they don't do this, they don't do that. They go anyhow. The Lord don't care. But is that really the matter? It's about you and your Redeemer. It's not about what other people are doing. You're not just to do something because other people are doing it. It's all about your personal relationship with your Redeemer. That should be what is driving you. His worship. If he means something to you, with all that you sing and say and you read and you say you believe, what do you show about what you think of him? Don't you think your actions show this? How do you prepare yourself both physically and mentally before you present yourself to your Redeemer? Put on your best dress. She's not telling her go buy a dress at Nordstrom or at Macy's or even at Target. No. She's telling her to be mindful because she wants to make an impression. This is her Redeemer. She's going to make a proposal. Again, how much do you value your Redeemer? I'm gonna jump. Time is pretty much gone. When you come before your Redeemer, I don't think that you leave ever without him blessing you. And again, we're jumping because of time. It's okay. You can read it. Before she left, here is what and they had the exchange. He got up. And I wanted to just touch on how the passage reads out. Her mother-in-law told her what she did, what to do. And she said, of course, all that you tell me to do, I will do. Let me mention that briefly. Obedience is the key. You can't do it your way. You have to do it God's way. Always God's way. Obedience is the key to be blessed. I'm sure some of these customs go what? Lay down with his feet? I mean, none of us would tell our daughters to do that today. And this could have been a strange thing to Ruth. What? Ruth was obedient. All that you tell me to do, in her mind, it may have been a strange practice. We don't do that anymore, Mom. No, she kept all that to herself. She was obedient. Obedience is the key. So when she got up, Boaz was like, "Who are you? Who are you?" And she said, "I am Ruth, your servant, your maidservant." And he praised her. He says, "You are of more virtue. You are a virtuous woman." He says, "All the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." Not a question. What would the people of your town say about you? This is what Boaz said to Ruth. "All the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." And this is not about women, by the way. Men here too. What would the people of your town say about you? Will they say you were a virtuous man, a virtuous woman? Your neighbor would say, "Oh, they only put on a show on Sunday. You should see them on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday. Oh, you should see them. They put on those nice clothes on Sunday. We see all their tattoos the rest of the week." You laugh, that's a serious thing. Serious thing. Is it only when we are coming before our Redeemer we are virtuous? It's a Sunday thing? Or is it something for every day of the week? We should carry ourselves in a certain manner. Yeah. "All the people of my town say that you are a virtuous woman." And when I was thinking about this, the word tattoo came to my mind too, because, you know, these thoughts just fly. And it's something that you don't hear preachers talk about. Do you know that the Bible has something to say about tattooing your skin? Do you know that? You don't hear that. You go to Leviticus 19:28. Leviticus 19:28, and it tells you there very clearly. It says, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you." And then it says, "I am the Lord." God is putting his stamp there on his word. "You shall not put any tattoo on you." So you see television and all those guys, they roll up their sleeves so you can see all the fancy stuff and this thing. And they're praising the Lord. "Oh, the Spirit is here." Yeah, right. Yeah. "I am the Lord." We must let our young people know that this is not just our opinion. This doesn't come from the book of Jerry, chapter 1, verse 1. It's from the Word of God. We just want them to know what God says, what he expects of them. Lift up yourself. Lift up yourself. When we come in the presence of the Lord, as I was saying before, the Lord blesses us when we are here in his presence. I believe the scripture makes that very clear. He says, bring a shawl that is on you, when she was about to leave. And when she held it, he measured 6 epop of barley and laid it on her. He did not send her away empty. She had a shawl, and he gave her the blessing of food to take home with her for her and her mother-in-law. I believe in the same manner when we come before our Redeemer, we are blessed. We are blessed. And notice here that Boaz wasn't the one who needed the blessing. It is not the Redeemer. When we come to church, it's not for our Redeemer's sake. It's not for God's sake. When we come to church, it was for our good. It is Ruth who is blessed. The blessing is from the Redeemer to us. We don't do anything for God. God is still God whether we're here or not. We are blessed when we come before our Redeemer. So when you miss out on being in the presence of your Redeemer, you miss out on your blessing. It's by faith. By faith. Everything God does is by faith. Our salvation is by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God doesn't give us a certificate of our Christianity. Well, now that you're born again, go at the back, go to the printer, and you'll see a piece of paper. My signature's at the bottom of it. And you can show everyone that you've been saved. No, that's not the way God operates. It's all by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you have to believe that God has something to give you, which he always has to give. When we read God's word, he blesses us. Psalms 84 and verse 4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They shall be praising you. And in verse 10, it says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. Continues, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And of course, we know our Redeemer's here because he says, where two or three are gathered, I am there in the midst. When you come into the house of your Redeemer, when you come before your Redeemer in the right mind, not being influenced by what's happening around you or anyone else. You're not here for anyone else to see you or anything like that. All people are going to see you. It's all part of that. You're here for your Redeemer. He's your attraction. But the other thought I want to share with you is, time just goes away, is that Ruth had the capacity to receive the blessing. She had a shawl, and in that shawl, she could receive the blessing from which was the blessing that was being handed to her by her Redeemer, Boaz. She had the capacity. You know, there's that song, we don't hear it too often now, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. The Lord can only fill your cup if your cup is empty. If your cup is filled with whatever, filled with self or anything else, there is nothing for the Lord to put in it. There is no room. Do you have the capacity for the blessing of the Lord? You know that song we sing, there shall be showers of blessing. And the chorus says, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. And I think sometimes God is saying, well, I'm giving you the mercy drops and you can hardly handle it. How can I give you the showers? How can I send you the showers? There is a story akin to that in 2 Kings chapter 4, the widow and Elisha. We're not even going to go to it. You know that story very well. And she cried out to Elisha, the prophet, saying, the merchants, they're coming. They're coming from my house. You know? And he said, what can I do for you? You know, what do you have? She says, all I have is a little bit of oil. And he said, go borrow vessels from your neighbor. He says, don't borrow a few. Capacity. You got to have room for your blessing. Go borrow empty vessels. God wants to fill your vessels. And this is not prosperity preaching. This is not about material things necessarily. God blesses you with more than material things. And God doesn't even tell you what he's going to do for you. He just does it. By faith. You got to believe it. And the Bible tells us that they went out, she and her two sons, and they talked to the neighbors, and they got lots of vessels. And she began to pour, and the oil began to pour in those vessels. And then she says, bring me another vessel. And the sons say, Mom, we ain't got no more vessels. Done. The next thing the passage tells us is that, and the oil stopped flowing. They ran out of capacity. God wants to bless us, but we gotta have the capacity to receive from the Lord. This is the picture we see here. She had a shawl. He was going to bless her by putting the blessing in the shawl. God wants to bless you. Would to God you have the capacity to receive from him. Please, we have to empty ourselves. That's where the putting off comes. We got to kill our flesh. The flesh has to die. And the Spirit of God take over. One last point is in verse 3. And, you know, I missed so many of the thoughts that I had in mind, but I think you get a picture. And I would encourage you, please slowly read this passage. I wanted to see a last point is verse 3. Naomi said to her, Go. Go. And then we didn't even get down to verse 18. You go down to verse 18, Naomi said to her, sit still. After she had gone back home, she had done, remember she said, I will do all that you can do. And she did it exactly the way Naomi told her. She went back home and she gave Naomi a report. And Naomi said, now my daughter, sit still. There are times when the Lord tells us to sit still. After we've been obedient. But then we run out of patience and we try to, I don't know if it's helping God or what. But then we try to put in our own energy, our own smart ideas into the equation. And we mess the whole thing up. We just mess everything up. There is a time to go. And there's a time to sit still. Aren't those wise words coming from Naomi? How many times we go when we shouldn't have gone? How many times we don't sit still? We go instead. When we should sit still, we stir up and we cause all kind of confusion. We mess up God's program. There's a time to go. There's a time to sit still. When the children of Israel were pursued by the Egyptians in Exodus chapter 14, and they got to the Red Sea, they couldn't run anymore. The boisterous Red Seas were there before them. The Egyptians were coming unto them. And they began to complain to Moses, what's going to happen now? They're going to kill us. Blah, blah, blah. And Moses said to them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He didn't tell them to pick up your swords, pick up whatever piece of this you got. No! Moses said to them, stand still. There's a time to go. There's a time to stand still. The end of the story is that Ruth got everything that Naomi wished for her. If we follow the Spirit of God and do the things that we are admonished to do in the Word of God, just like Ruth, the Lord will give us everything that our hearts desires. The Lord will bless us beyond our comprehension. Just like the Egyptians were destroyed. Moses said, you see these Egyptians that you see them today, that you see today, you're not going to see them again. They'll be destroyed by the Lord. Stand still. The beautiful thing about this is, and I think the psalmist puts it best, you know, when we learn to stand still and allow God to do what God does, the psalmist says in Psalms 118, he says, this doing is of the Lord, and it's marvelous in our eyes. When we let go and we let God wins the victory for us. Sometimes we don't even have to pick up our arms. We don't have to apply our muscles. God takes care of us. But we have to be obedient. We have to do all that he says. And when we come before him, we ought to come with our focus on him, not on self. Give him all that he requires. He deserves it. How do you assess your Redeemer? I trust that this morning these few thoughts would, one, cause you to read this book. It's a very, very beautiful book. But don't just read it for the sake of reading it. Reading it because God speaks to us through it. And when you read it, if there are any corrections, if there are any alterations to be made to your spiritual life, Just be open like Ruth and say, Lord, all that you say to me to do, I will do. And I promise God will bless you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need a Redeemer. Absolutely. And God wants to redeem you. We read this morning, if you were here for the worship service, while we were enemies, while we were afar off, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you. He wants the best for you. God's wisdom supersedes your wisdom so far above what you can even imagine or think. Give him a place in your life. If you don't know God's Son, Jesus Christ, we can show you from his word how you can accept him as your Lord and Savior. And from this day on, know that you have a Redeemer, one who went to the cross for you, one who died for you. But he's not dead. He rose from the grave. He's victorious. He upholds the world by the power of his word, even today. The Lord bless you for Christ's sake.